mentioned in the Bible study this morning, the lesson is about the authority of Jesus. And we talked about that quite a bit in our Bible study, and I appreciate those thoughts. And as we think about the authority of Jesus, there's a lot of verses that come to mind. And hopefully we're not just going to skim the surface, but we're going to delve deeply into a study of the authority of Jesus. This sermon stemmed from a song that I heard on a radio, on the radio. It was a popular song. It's a new song that came out. And when the song came on, I listened to the song. Normally I would have changed it, but I was so stuck listening to the lyrics of the song that I couldn't turn it off. I had to hear the whole song. And I'll read some of the lyrics of the song. Perhaps you've heard it yourself. It says, "You don't own me. Don't try to change me in any way. You don't own me. Don't tie me down, because I'd never stay. I don't tell you what to say. I don't tell you what to do. So just let me be myself. That's all I ask of you. I'm young and I love to be young. I'm free and I love to be free. To live my life the way I want. To say and do whatever I please." As I listened to the words of this song, I was almost waiting for the lightning bolt to strike my car, because I thought, what an arrogant attitude this is. And sadly, this song is becoming an anthem for our community today. Just a few days ago, me and my wife were watching a video on Facebook of a girl who had been pulled over. Her and her boyfriend, her husband, or whoever he was, had been pulled over, and he was being arrested for not having a driver's license. And she was saying, "You can't arrest him, you can't arrest him. He doesn't need a driver's license." And the officer was dumbfounded. "What do you mean he doesn't need a driver's license?" She said, "We're free inhabitants. We don't have to obey the laws of this country." The officer was confused. So was I. I don't know what that is. But she kept saying, "We're free inhabitants. We don't have to obey the laws. We get all the freedoms, and we don't have to obey any of the laws. You have no authority over us." And she said, "Where do you get your authority?" And the officer pointed at his badge, and he said, "From the sheriff of this county. I have the authority to arrest you." And the video went on, and she kept arguing, "You have no authority over me." And finally said, "Ma'am, I'm going to tow this car, and you are not allowed to be in it." And he had to get her out, and he eventually arrested her. She was mistaken. He did have authority over her. And sadly, I think this is becoming all too popular of an attitude, all too popular of a mindset for people today. A lot of times young people get a very bad rep for having this kind of attitude, and a lot of older folks like to blanket sweep and say young people altogether have this type of attitude. And it's true that many young people do, but it doesn't stop there. The adults, the parents, they're acting in the same kind of ways that these younger people are acting. And they're saying the same kind of things as this song, that I'm free to live my life the way I want, and I'll do whatever I please. The girl that got arrested, she was misguided, thinking that she didn't have to obey the rules. And sadly, I think a lot of us in the world today, a lot of people in the world today, are misguided also. Misguided by empty, deceitful words that people like to spout off and say. And I think it is creeping into the church. And we need to be prepared for this. We need to be mindful that this kind of thing is happening in the world around us and not be caught off guard. The last time I was here, we talked about the devil. And we talked about some of the tools and tactics that the devil will use to get us to stray off the path of righteousness. We are told not to be ignorant of his devices. And that's exactly what we're trying to do in this study this morning, is not be ignorant, but realize that Jesus has all authority. When we talk about authority, we need to understand truth. Truth is an essential key to understanding authority. Unfortunately, there's a lot of confusion about the word truth. I don't know how that's possible. Truth is a five-letter word. It's very easy to define. Webster's defines truth as the body of real things, events, and facts, actuality, the state of being the case, often capitalized, a transcendent, fundamental, or spiritual reality. Truth is very simple. It is an absolute truth that I am standing on this podium right now. It is an undeniable truth that the sun is hanging in the sky and shining down on this planet right now. It's very easy to understand that. Unfortunately, somehow, Satan has worked his way into the minds of man and confused us about truth. Oprah Winfrey quoted this during her Golden Globe speech. "What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have." The idea that truth is subject to you is a prevalent mindset. Truth is subject to what you believe. Speaking your truth. There is only the truth. There is no such thing as your truth or my truth or his truth. There is only the truth. If we cannot understand that, then there is no way for us to understand who actually has authority. If truth was subject, then the girl that got arrested, she could have the truth, or she could have her truth. And the officer could have his truth, but that would mean that he would have no authority over her because there would be no true law for him to uphold. It would be complete chaos. Truth is the basis for reality, and so whoever actually has the truth is the one who has the authority. So why is it so important that Jesus has the ultimate truth? That is why it is so important that Jesus has the ultimate truth. And that nothing we could ever say or teach or even believe changes that truth. John has a lot to say about this. If you'd like to turn with me, we're going to look at three verses in John. John chapter 8 and verse 31. John, the book of John is just packed with information, and he talks about the truth quite a bit. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth. Jesus didn't say, if you abide in my word, you will know my truth. And Jesus could have said that because Jesus is the word. Jesus said, you will know the truth. Look in John chapter 14, a couple chapters over, John chapter 14 and verse 6. Again, we hear Jesus speaking. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus again saying, "I am the way and the truth." Jesus didn't say, "I am a way. I am a truth." Jesus didn't say, "I am my way or my truth." No, Jesus said, "I am the way and I am the truth. And no one comes to the Father except through me." If Jesus is the truth, then we have to go through the truth to get through the Father. That's an important fact. A couple of chapters, one chapter or two, or three chapters over, in John 17 and verse 17, it says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." The ultimate truth, in turn, the ultimate reality or authority, is the word of the Lord. Jesus identifying as that word, Jesus has all authority. We could end this whole sermon right here. That could be the end of everything we talk about. Jesus is the truth, so Jesus is the authority. We see examples of this throughout the Bible. Of course, Jesus mentions being the truth and the way multiple times. We see the apostles referring to Jesus as the way and the truth. We see many verses. We could talk all day about Jesus being the truth and the way. But let's look at an instance in Acts chapter 17. Paul is traveling and he enters the city of Athens. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 16, it says, "Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols." The city of Athens, very religious place to be. There's idols everywhere. They're worshiping all kinds of idols, different gods. They've got all of this stuff going on. They're very religious. They're very focused on religion. Acts chapter 17, verse 22 through 25. "So Paul, standing in the midst of Areopagus, said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious.'" That's important. Paul said, "In every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' That therefore, what therefore you worship as unknown, I proclaim to you that the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." The people in Athens were seeking the truth. These idols had been created by a man. Someone, somewhere, at some time created every single one of these idols and the religions associated with them. They tried to create the truth. One thing to note, they were genuine. There's no reason that these people were not genuine. Paul says, "I understand in every way you are very religious." They wanted to be religious people. They wanted the truth. And they weren't going to stop at nothing to get the truth. They just made it up themselves. If they couldn't find it, they were going to make it. They were genuine in their service to these gods. That's a common thing, isn't it? We have lots of friends and coworkers and family, no doubt, who are genuinely wrong. They practice religion, and they are genuine. I believe the last time I was here, I mentioned that I have many family members who practice very devout religion, and they're very genuine. I have no doubt that they're genuine. We differ on our beliefs. I disagree with many of the things that they believe. That doesn't mean that they're not genuine. These people were exactly like that. But that does not mean that what they have created and what they practice was the truth. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 through 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" There is no reason to believe that the people in Matthew chapter 7 that Jesus is referring to were not genuine. They will say to him, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?" There's no reason to doubt that these people were not genuinely doing these acts in the name of the Lord. They obviously were not doing them in the way that God wanted them to be done, and so they were not pleasing to him. But this is just to prove the point that being genuine does not make what we do correct. Many people have done things with good intentions and with genuine hearts and been so terribly wrong. In fact, many people, including Paul, have had people killed in the name of the Lord only to find out that what they were doing was directly the opposite of what God wanted them to do. No matter how we feel inside or what our motives are, our truth will never get us to heaven. Only the truth will ever lead us down the path that we want to go. And only that truth will be pleasing to God. Really, the idea of authority, once we understand truth, comes down to a matter of attitude. Our attitude will determine how we respond to the truth of the gospel. If we have a bad attitude, there's a good chance that we'll respond poorly to this truth. What do you think God would say to an attitude like the one in this song? You don't own me. Could you imagine saying that to God? You don't own me. Who do you think you are? I'm free and I like to be free to live my life the way I please. I'm going to do whatever I want. What would God say to an attitude like that? It's unbelievably arrogant. And something I believe we could not say to God's face. We're told that on the day of judgment that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't believe that we will be able to stand on our own two feet, no matter how badly we might want to say it and say those words, "You don't own me." In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God." He says, since therefore Christ Jesus suffered, have the same way of thinking. We could use the word attitude right there. Right? Have the same way of thinking. Attitude is defined as the way you think and feel about someone or something. Have the same way of thinking. Have the same attitude that Christ had. That's what we're being told in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. Since Christ suffered, arm yourselves with the same attitude. Be willing to suffer. When we read the Word of God, we read that we have to give things up. And if we understand that the Word of God is the truth, we have to make a decision. Am I going to have the attitude that Christ had? Am I going to be willing to put my selfish ambitions aside and devote myself to God? Am I going to be willing to be broken to God like that horse to its master, pulling on the reins? Are we going to be willing to let God control us? Are we going to have the attitude that our Lord and Savior had? Or are we going to feel entitled to much more? I'm an American. I'm free. I can do what I want. We need to have the same attitude that Christ had. The idea of entitlement used to be dominantly driven by the idea that people wanted things. I deserve free college. American citizen, I should get to go to college for free. I'm an American citizen, I shouldn't have to pay taxes. I should have free health care. All of these things that used to be about these things, these physical things, entitlement. That buzzword used to be used quite often to represent what people wanted. What does God say about that kind of attitude? 12 in verses 16 through 21, we read of a rich man. A parable. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, it said, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully." Much like us as Americans, right? We have plenty. Our land has produced plentifully. He said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store up all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." If we have a feeling of entitlement, an attitude that drives our actions, that we are free and that we should get to do what we want because we deserve it, we will be like this rich man. He says four times, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and larger ones. I will store up all my grain. I will say to my soul, are we this rich man? Or do we have the attitude of Jesus, who was led as a sheep to the slaughter, who uttered not a word, who when reviled did not revile in return? He sacrificed. The man in Luke chapter 12 forgot all about God and thought only of himself and what he wanted. He felt that his hands had reaped this great crop and that he deserved what he had coming to him. Songs, movies, and all other kinds of media are teaching and promoting this idea, this attitude of entitlement. And kids, and not only kids, but adults also today, are clinging to that fact. Listening to this type of music on the radio, that they will do what they want to do. They will be free and live their life the way they want to live. We'll talk more about this later, because this idea is creeping into the church and it is causing a problem. It is causing a problem in the hearts of Christians and in congregations today. But it's not a new problem. And we'll talk about that a little bit here in just a few minutes. If maybe you have had this kind of attitude in your life and you are sorry and you want to repent, this is a great time to consider that. This is a great time to think about your relationship with God. Think about the fact that Jesus has all authority. And we're going to talk a lot more about Jesus having the authority. And we're going to look at a lot of verses that talk about how come Jesus has the authority and why He has that authority. But know this, that Jesus, as we read in Matthew, all authority has been given to Him. And His truth says that we need to be baptized for the remission of our sins, to have our sins washed away, to repent, to change, to confess Him before men, and live pure and free from sin until death. At which time, God offers a crown of life to all of those who have remained faithful. If you want to make that decision this morning, if you want to put God first in your life, if you've thought it through, if you're ready for that, now is a great time. Jesus says that today is the day of salvation. Don't wait until tomorrow to do what you could do today. If you need to be baptized, or if you'd like to have the prayers, or if you'd like to repent publicly, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.